Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin Full Year 2012 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this moment, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Good afternoon, and welcome to the DiaSorin full year results. I'm going to comment on the full year results with a focus on the last quarter. First, let's discuss revenues. As usual, I will comment separately vitamin D from non-vitamin D sales. Liaison non-vitamin D sales grew 14% in 2012, with an acceleration in quarter four, where we experienced a growth in excess of 19%. In particular, sales were strong in Europe, Asia Pacific, and in the U.S., and in general, were driven by either the launch of the Liaison XL or the introduction of the new products in the previous quarter. All this clearly has positively affected the end of the year. Worth noting is the strong growth, especially in Q4, of the instrument sales, which grew 40% over previous year. This is related to the launch of the Liaison XL in certain strategic countries covered by third-party distributors, and it will affect positively reagent sales in the coming quarters. Vitamin D declined 13.5% in Q4, mainly driven by U.S. pricing, since all contract renegotiation, which happened in the previous quarters, are coming into full effect. From a geographical point of view, Europe has finally shown signs of recovery. In all countries, I would say, with the exception of France, that I will discuss later. In Italy, notwithstanding a sharp market decline of more than 4%, which has been reported by the local Association of Diagnostic Manufacturers, DiaSorin grew 5% in Q4 and was able to offset the negative results of the first half of 2012. In Germany, sales grew 8.6% in the quarter, and this is thanks to the continuous growth of the Liaison XL install base and the fact that we were able to sign up in the previous quarters some big laboratory chains, and we saw the first impact in quarter four. Finally, France. In France, we saw sales stabilizing after we have taken the hit on vitamin D volume throughout the previous quarters. If you remember, we did discuss in the previous calls the fact that at the end of 2010 until the first quarter of 2011, a competitor withdrew the vitamin D, which it did benefit for increased volume in France, and this effect has disappeared throughout 2012. Asia. In Asia, we saw an acceleration of sales, which grew 27% in Q4 over previous year. It is mainly related to the performance of sales in China and the launch of the Liaison XL in certain key markets in this region. In Latin America, we, as other companies, have been hit in quarter four by the strike of the ANVISA, which has limited our ability to import products through the months of October and November. We were allowed only to live with local inventory and few shipments that went through. This clearly has affected our ability to supply customers. This has happened with many other competitors. This explains why we had a very awkward fourth quarter in the region. Importation resumed regularly end of December, and we are currently experiencing a regular flow of products and sales in Q1 of 2013. In the rest of the Latin America region, sales continue to grow double-digit, especially in Mexico, where the Liaison XL was launched recently in Q4. Now, let me comment on the install base. As far as the install base is concerned, placements of Liaison XL were very strong, and in the quarter, we placed 125 systems worldwide, bringing the overall base of XL to exceed 600 units. So this is a very good result for the company. Now, I would like to discuss margins. As far as margins are concerned, it is important to understand the reason for the erosion which we experienced in 2012, and particularly in quarter four. As you may remember, we predicted that vitamin D would have affected EBITDA margins by roughly 200 base points in 2012. What we have seen is in fact in line with expectation, with a contribution of price repositioning of vitamin D of a little bit short of 250 base points. The remaining 100 base points of erosion were related to a different weight of instrument sales on total revenues. Just for you to understand, this is especially true in quarter four, where instrument revenue grew 40% versus previous year and represented 12.5% of revenues versus 10.5% in the previous three quarters. For your reference, in Q4 last year, instrument revenues were only 9% in the quarter. So this has been an outstanding quarter in terms of instrument revenues. Again, this is related to the fact that we launched the Liaison XL in several geographies, strategic geographies, covered by third-party distributors. So there is happy distributors. So there is an initial outflow of Liaison XL to this distributor. But very clearly, this will start to contribute positively to the reagent sales starting from quarter one. However, as far as Q4 is concerned, there is a further element which has affected our EBITDA margin. It has to do with the fact that in quarter four, we now have the full commercial sales force, which is dedicated to the launch of our molecular product line. So it is the first quarter where we see full impact of on the operating expenses level for our molecular assets. Clearly, in 2013, these expenses will be offset by the fact that the revenues will be generated for this product line. For the time being, we just see the cost associated with the startup. Now, I will move now to the financials, and I will allow our CFO to comment on it, and then we'll discuss guidance, and then we will open up the Q&A. Piero?
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let me focus your attention on some key relevant points of 2012. Looking at the profit and loss figure, it is worth mentioning our capability to achieve a good result in terms of revenue. Despite the difficult worldwide economy, especially in Europe, which combined with the vitamin D pricing pressure already commented by Carlo, affected our capability in growing double digit across all the rest of the CLIA menu ex vitamin D. 2012 was confirmed a transitional year where double digit growth across all the CLIA menu and the vitamin D decrease offset respectively each other. I also would like to stress the fact that today, Diasony is the company with the largest menu on CLIA technology all around the world, having achieved the target of 100 assays on the Liaison platform. The completeness of our product offering across the main clinical areas served in the immunodiagnostic market is positioning DiaSorin as a diagnostic specialist company, also able to serve the mainstream products demand from big lab chains and laboratories. Another relevant driver of 2012 was certainly our Liaisonic cell, which is gaining more and more importance also as we speak. As an example of the success, let me remind you that we have successfully launched the Liaisonic cell last December in Shanghai, setting the base for a great success of reagents sales in such a relevant country. And in Q4 2012, we also have achieved the approval for Liaisonic cell in Brazil, where we are solving the market to get more relevant reagents revenues thanks to the new analyzer installed. All these themes find a correspondence in the revenue achieved in 2012, which are totalized 434 million of euros. As far as the marginality of the group and on our capability to keep our margin high, Carlo already deeply commented on them. So let me still only stress again the fact that we are comfortable in keeping an important marginality going forward, thanks to the fact that all our clear products enjoy a standard margin in line with vitamin D, and that their revenue trend grew about 14% during the year, with a boost in the last quarter of 2012 to a growth of more than 19%. I would also like to point out our capability in containing our operating expenses. If we consider 2012, the increase of 5.7 would have been 130 basis points lower when considering these expenses at the cost of business scope, excluding the setup cost for the launch of the new molecular business, namely R&D, sales and marketing, operating and manufacturing costs. We are also really comfortable on our capability in generating a substantial amount of cash during the year, also thanks to a wiser management of our net working capital, where we have been able to reduce the timing in cashing our receivable while keeping under control our inventory level, only up about 2 million of euros vis-à-vis the end of 2011. Last but not least, let me focus on some other relevant pillars of the company. Our net financial position was equal to 92.2 million before the distribution of a special dividend of 0.83 per share, equal to 45.1 million paid on January the 3rd. 2013. After the payment, the net financial position is still 5.5 euros higher than the end of 2011. In 2012, we have been able to generate again a consistent amount of cash. Our free cash flow was in fact equal to 82.6 million, comparable to 82.7 million generated in 2011. Our net result was still and again relevant to allow the Board of Directors to motion to the next shareholder meeting the approval of the distribution of a dividend on 27.2 million equal to 0.50 on each share outstanding, each treasury share, which should be paid on May the 23rd, 2013.
Thank you, Piero. Listen, let me just cover the guidance for 2013 and then we move on to the Q&A session. As far as revenues is concerned, we feel comfortable with a growth between 2 and 4% at constant exchange rate. And we expect molecular revenues to represent at least 5 million of the total revenues. As far as EBITDA is concerned, we expect the EBITDA to stay flat in absolute value at constant exchange rate versus what we achieved in 2012, with an absorption from the molecular business equal to 6 million euros, And this is the result of the investments which are necessary to develop this business. Very clearly, this for us is a startup. We have lots of costs which are associated with sales, marketing activity, more research and development, and therefore we still expect that in 2013 the molecular business will not be a positive contributor to our EBITDA. As far as guidance for a new installation, Liaison and Liaison XL, we believe that we will exceed 500 system placed in 2013. So I would now open the session for Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Romain Zana of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two, actually. The first one on vitamin D. You detail in the press that vitamin D in the U.S. was down around 21% in the full year 12. Could you tell us what was the underlying volume market growth in the U.S. on vitamin D? And also, same question for Europe. And second question is rather a big picture question on margin. Your 2015 guidance suggests that the EBITDA margin will return to the level above 42%, so in the long term. Do you still believe that it is realistic? And if yes, what should, why should we see a reverse in trend at some point of time? Thank you.
Yes, Roman, I'll take the vitamin D first. The vitamin D growth in the U.S. Was simply not there. In terms of volume, we estimate that the volume has been quite flat vis-a-vis the previous year. The best way for us to judge what the market does is to look at our largest customer that does represent a significant share of the U.S. market, and in fact those volumes were flat. The U.S. market has reached now a very high level of penetration, and vitamin D has become a routine parameter there, also for the annual physical check, so I don't expect to see any positive volume contribution going forward. As far as Europe is concerned, as we have discussed many times, I think that is very different country from country to country. There are countries like Italy and Germany, for example, where you still have growth between 15 and 20%. Other countries like France, where it's more flattish as far as volume is concerned. Very clearly, the appearance of more and more competitor has affected the pricing compared to what you would see, for example, 2 years ago, not to the same extent of the U.S., but marginally there has been a price effect in Europe as well. Other geographies, I think in Australia, still you see a single digit growth, which is outstanding, seeing the level of penetration. And another very large market, which is Israel, I think is the only exception that I've seen in the world so far where a conscientious effort has been made to educate certain physicians not to test vitamin D. And we have seen decline of volume in Israel between 10 and 15%. Now, as far as margin for long-term, listen, when we have prepared that the plan in 2010 and presented in 2011, very clearly it was a different world in two ways. I think it was a different world from a financial point of view, because we have seen that the things have changed significantly, especially in Europe, after the date. And second, we made an assumption at the time that vitamin D would have been flat, so we were expecting volume to become flat in competition. Clearly, we did not foresee the effect of some, let me define, crazy pricing that some competitors have applied, especially in the U.S. So we owned to ourselves a plan that will be issued by the second part of this year. I just want to understand how stable is the European market and how can we rely on that. And based on that, we can put together a forecast that we issue to the market for sure by the end of the year.
Just two follow-up questions on that, if I may. For the guidance, am I right to understand that a nice target for you now would be to sustain the level of margin looking forward?
I think so. But there is one thing that we are doing and internally, and I will try to to find a way at least to give you an indication how to model the business. Very clearly, today we have two businesses within Diasorin. One is our immunoassay business, which is a business that is following certain dynamics. And then there is a startup business, which is the Molecula, that, as said, is absorbing investments, being a startup, and is clearly growing at a different pace. We will try to provide you with elements where we tell you how much of the profitability of the, let me say, of the overall business is eroded by the investment that we are making on the molecular, because it becomes significant. It does clearly affect the profitability today, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that some of the erosion is not necessarily related to the vitamin D, but is related to conscientious investments that this company is making to develop a molecular franchise.
Okay. And very quickly on vitamin D pricing, so you said that in the U.S. you expect a roughly flat volume, and on the pricing side, I mean, is the bulk of the pricing pressure is now behind us, so what would be the magnitude of the pricing pressure do you expect over the next couple of years?
I believe that the bulk of the pricing pressure is behind, meaning that the repositioning of the direct business that we have has happened throughout, as we discussed in the last calls, 2012. Very clearly, unfortunately, just mathematically, we will feel some of the effect in 2012 because in 2013 because we will have the full year effect of price renegotiation. But the last contracts, the contract that we have signed today in the U.S. Have a pricing which is in line with what we sell in all the major markets worldwide.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for having been
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one on Clea X Vitamin D product. If is it possible to have an indication regarding the expected growth rate for this kind of product for 2013 and the main test expected to contribute on 2013? The second question on vitamin D, could you provide an update regarding the timing of the vitamin D test approval in Japan and expected the contribution in 2013? And the last question on U.S. market, could you elaborate on your growth strategies for the U.S. market, both organically and potentially via acquisitions? Thank you.
Yes. Clea X vitamin D, as you have seen, the growth is spectacular, I would say, with a 19%, and also is accelerating throughout the year. I believe, listen, without really giving any specific number, I believe that sustainability of high double-digit growth for this product line is realistic. keep in mind that in 2013 we have the launch of the Excel in two key strategic areas. One, which happened, by the way, already at the end of last year. One is China and the other one is Brazil. And these markets are clearly non-vitamin D markets. Plus, what has been very reassuring for me, at least in the last two quarters, is the fact that in Europe we have seen a recovery. Let's hope it will last, or at least a stabilization, so we don't see erosion of volume any longer, and therefore all the platforms, all the new business, which is non-vitamin D business that we added throughout 2012, is now able to show the contribution. Right? There was a contribution also before. Unfortunately, it was taken out by the volume erosion that we have seen in Q1 and Q2. So high double digit is something I would feel comfortable with. As far as the U.S. market strategy, very clearly what we have been trying to do since the viability of the cell is to rush and reposition our effort into non-vitamin D, into non-vitamin D sales. Non-vitamin D products, I don't know if it is shown in the chart, but it grew over 30% versus previous year. We sold more than 10 million of non-vitamin D products in the U.S. Unfortunately, it's a different scale still compared to the vitamin D. So the ability to offset the vitamin D loss in price is not there yet. However, in order to increase the growth of sales development, as you know, we started last year with a project to increase menu in the U.S. We have a target of reaching 50 new assays available on the Liaison Excel, starting from the current 25. We have and these products that we are bringing to the U.S. These products that we are bringing to the U.S. are divided into exempt products and registered products. So we are currently focusing on the one that required the 510K approval. We got three so far, and I expect that in quarter one we should get a wave of. I'm just going by memory. I would say between 6 and 10 additional that should be able to be either approved or being exempt, distributed in the U.S. market. So the strategy is clearly there. The products have been brought to the market, the Excel. We now have, I think, more than 100 Excels installed in the U.S., and all the new placements are Liaison Excel. Again, it takes a little time because of the size of the business of vitamin D in the U.S. Then there's another question which was on vitamin D. What was that?
Yes,
Japan.
Yes.
I am as frustrated, I believe, as everybody else. I expected, I hope I could give the good news by this conference call because we're just waiting for the ministry to signal the approval. Unfortunately, we didn't get it. Our expectation in 2012 is that, in 2013, sorry, for vitamin D in Japan is that once launched, we should get a contribution, let me say, between 500,000 to 1 million euro of revenues because of the relatively rapid adoption of this test and because of the fact that we already have the system installed in the big lab just waiting for the orders to come and the reimbursement. It is Japanese bureaucracy. All we had to do was done. We're just waiting for the ministry to approve.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Sorry, just get a quick clarification on your guidance, first of all. You're talking about 2 to 4%. Constant exchange rate revenue growth, is that including or excluding the 5 million from molecular diagnostics? And similar question on the EBITDA when you're talking about flat EBITDA. Is that including or excluding the 6 million loss?
Martin, it's both yes and yes. Yes, it does include 5 million of molecular. Yes, the flat EBITDA includes a 6 million erosion, which is related to the negative contribution or absorption of the startup molecular business.
Okay. And in terms of vitamin D pressure still to come in 13, I know I appreciate it's annualized now, but clearly there's an effect from the fact you didn't lock in all the prices at the beginning of 12. How much of a headwind is that in 2013 to the extent you're prepared to quantify it?
So the line is not... Sorry,
I'm trying to ask you to quantify the further pressure on revenues from vitamin D in 13, given that you've seen the full effect of the last round of price cuts at the end of 2012, assuming there are no more price cuts in vitamin D. How do we think about that franchise developing across 2013?
Listen, ballpark. I expect that... the effect in 2013 will be in excess of 10 million.
Okay, that's clear. In terms of your molecular diagnostics franchise, does it break even in 2014, or is that too early to think about it breaking even?
I think it will break even, but as we speak, to be honest with you, I'm more concerned about sales development. Now, this is if you think about it, if we had to buy any sort of startup claiming to have a technology for molecular without revenues, we would pay in excess of 100 million euros. This is what the price tag today associated with anybody claiming to have something. Okay, we decided to go a different way. We decided to develop it internally through R&D effort and licensing. So there was a cost. There is a cost associated with this, which is in OPEX. I think that in terms of size and profitability, DiaSorin has enough resources to fund all of this. So I'm not really worried necessarily about breaking even, but I'm worried about developing an install base of Liaison AM system and extraction business because I know that the profitability will come. And I know it because the standard cost of manufacturing, which is a very relevant part of this bet that we took, is extremely favorable. So today the effect that you will see is the OPEX effect that you need as a set of cost on a relatively small business, and it's going to be diluted further when the business will grow.
Okay. And could you give us a little color on how successful your new gastrointestinal infections franchise has been so far and what you now expect from that?
You mean the tool assay, right?
Yes.
I think that we spent an awful amount of time in developing awareness. Awareness meaning that going to labs and providing the breaking the news that they can switch over into our platform. Unfortunately, until the beginning of quarter four, when we launched the GDH assay, we had an incomplete panel because the current guideline, especially for C. diff, requires the use of two assays, GDH as a screening and C. diff as a reflex. And we had the C. diff, but we just added the GDH. So I expect that with lots of success, so we had installations, we had customers, I expect to see the impact in terms of revenue generation in 2013 because now we have the full panel. No, so there is a reason for all the customers to implement in routine all the assets and switch over from the current assets to full automation. Keep in mind, however, that one of the fundamental assumptions that we had has been proven right. The end user price for these products is extremely high. So the profitability of this line is there.
So if I read you right, we're about 5 months into when you've had the full panel that you needed. Can you give us any color on how you've progressed in recent months?
I don't think I want to comment on progression, Martin. I think that we will comment on development of the school essays going forward throughout 2013. I'm feeling comfortable again for two reasons. Now the basic menu is there, and I think there are three more products which are expected to be launched in 2013. I've seen that pricing is extremely favorable and extremely well received by customers because they are able to pay for automation, so very high margin contribution, even if with this product there is a royalty stream associated with it, which goes back to, in some cases, to Meridian, as we have disclosed. And there is no competition pretty much out there. So we will comment about this in when the quarters will develop.
Okay, and just a final question on your U.S. strategy following up the previous question. How long do you think it will take you to get from 25 to 50 assays there? And anything you particularly highlight as real opportunities in the U.S. that you'll be able to take advantage of from these new product launches?
As I said before, we have a target in mind to get to 50 reasonably by, I would say, mid-next year. I expect that as soon as the 510Ks, the first three ones already came in, as soon as the 510Ks will come back and be approved, we will pick up momentum. As said, there are a bunch of exempt products which are ready because they are related just to internal validation studies. These have all been done and ready to be launched. However, we cannot introduce this to the market until the 510K products will not be approved. So I would say Q1 and Q2 are good quarters when we will start to see completion of the panel and moving forward. Don't forget, though, that today we have something very interesting in the arsenal in the U.S., which is now the full migration, and availability of a good portion of the infectious disease assays that we had available on the Liaison. Now we've been migrated to the Liaison Excel. And so, notwithstanding the fact that we are missing some of the new assays, we do have all the existing assays now available on the platform, and then we can start a strategy clearly to go after the hospital-based business using the Liaison Excel. Again, one of the problems, as we discussed before about the U.S., is that the size of the vitamin D business is so significant that we need to continue to develop our existing sales and revenues associated with non-vitamin D in order to be able to stabilize and affect and see growth again coming from the U.S. market.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, yes, thanks for taking the questions. So firstly, just on molecular diagnostics then, if we come back to, I guess, Martin's question on the 6 million euro loss, I mean, that suggests from the comments you've made sort of operating spend on this business of about 10 million, I think, this year. That 10 million, if you like, on sales and marketing investment and building up this franchise, is that then leverageable, or should we see, you know, that is that cost base just the initial sort of infrastructure in place that we'd anticipate to grow in the future too? And then secondly, on the sort of overall revenue growth of 2-4%, I guess I'm just trying to understand the levers in that outlook, insofar as you said obviously now that the non-vitamin D clear business has surpassed vitamin D, which suggests therefore that if that's going to continue growing at double digit, that business alone should be able to drive some pretty good top line growth. So I guess I'm wondering what is the headwind, if you like, the business that's going to be the biggest headwind during 2013 to result in an overall sort of potentially 2% growth on the top line. Thank you.
Okay, you need to keep in mind that today there is a third component to our business, which is the traditional ELISA and the Murex business. which still represents, I think, altogether 70, 80 million euro worth of business. That business has two components. One has to do with Nurex, which is, let me say, a relatively steady business, low growth, very clearly is not a growth contributor, but is a fantastic cash cow and has a lot of strategic importance for us, as we've discussed many times. But then there is the remaining business, which is traditional RIA and ELISA, which is declining. It's declining, so that's a headwind that that we need to face year on year. It is declining simply because the technology is disappearing, and some of these RIA technologies are really dying off. So when you look at the 2 to 4%, you need to take into components three elements of the business: very strong growth of non-CLIA, CLIA, non-vitamin D, the headwind related to vitamin D, and Nurex, which is stable, and the traditional business, which is declining. Great cash out, but is declining. Your second question was on molecular. And I think, if I understand correctly, you said, are you done? I mean, is this the cost that you're going to incur, that you will continue to incur into, or is this going to materially increase? Is this the sense of your question?
Yes, exactly. I think it's about 10 million euros by looking at the back of the envelope. If you take, so I just was sort of trying to work out how that 10 million could evolve over time.
Listen, I think that there was a, that this is the setup. So we went from pretty much zero to 10 million. And this is the result of research and development, but I would say lately, especially starting in quarter four, as you have seen, is mainly to do with the setup of the commercial organization. Now, today we have a commercial organization set up in Europe, U.S., and Australia. Countries minimalistic, meaning that we hire people from competition, we put together small teams, we are starting a promotion with these people very clearly as soon as the revenues will come, and in order to push the revenues up where we expect them to go, we will need to invest in, I'm not expecting a big investment in research and development, but I expect that the marketing and sales cost will grow and will continue to grow proportionally to the growth of revenues. One thing of this molecular business that you need to understand is that salaries, especially associated with salespeople, are significantly higher than what you pay for the traditional business. And this is very simple to explain. Most of these salespeople are PhDs, because this is still a sale which is strongly associated with the content rather than system.
That's great. Thank you. So could I just follow up with one other quick one, which is on Murex, we saw quite a big decline in the fourth quarter. I realize 4Q11 was abnormally strong, if you like. Is that the only effect that we're seeing in Murex with the drop-off in 4Q, or was there some other factor? That's it then. Thank you.
No, it has to do with two things. As we discussed before, Anvisa and in Brazil, because if you remember, Brazil is a bit is a good portion of our Nurex business along with China. And the second thing had to do with shipments that happened in Q4 last year, and simply for a matter of seasonality did not happen this year. Overall, you've seen the business of Nurex has been flattish. So, and I expect it to continue to be a very nice opportunistic business, very profitable for us. But again, if you remember, we bought this business for a different reason, which was to give more credibility to our effort on hepatitis and HIV, which clearly does result into growth of the hepatitis brand on the Liaison XL.
Great, thank you.
The next question is from Maura Garbero of One Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. The first one is on the instrument. Can you possibly give us an indication of what we should expect in 2013 compared to 2012 in terms of incidence on the total revenues? And the second question, how many of those new placements will be sold rather than only placed as you traditionally did as you are growing more into emerging markets? And the final question, would it be possible to have the breakdown by technologies to the top line as you were used to report, I mean, including Murex, because nowadays it seems that Clear contributes to 73%, but at the 9 months was around 67%. But then I realized that you changed the format of that table.
Okay. In terms of what should be the weight of instrument sales, on average, it has been 10%. And I think that if you for your modeling, you should continue to use 10%. It could go up and down depending on different quarters. And in 2012 has been more significant simply because we launched the Liaison Excel in certain geographies where we act through distribution. And that is why you've seen spikes, especially as we have discussed in Q4, where, as I said before, instruments did represent 12.5% of total revenues. What was the second question again? The weight of CLIA versus non-CLIA?
Yeah. If you could look at the breakdown of your revenues by technology, you are now netting Murex, which is a different contribution than what it used to be.
Okay, is CLIA is 73.5%. Versus 10% of ELISA and 4% RIA.
And that compares, using the same breakdown, that compares to the 9 months, because at the 9 months, looking at the same table, the figure was 67%.
No, you mean in the quarter, right? You want to know the weight in the quarter?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have it. I don't think I have it with me. I would...
Now, it's just because you used to give it including Murex, and now it seems that you are taking out Murex.
Yes.
So that gives a pretty different breakdown between CLIA and ELISA, but it doesn't matter. And then if you just come back to the final question I had on the instruments, how many of the instruments will be sold and placed of the 500 or more than 500 new placements you're targeting?
I believe, probably a quarter of those will be sold and the rest will be placed. I'm just going by memory because I don't have the data of the plan in front of me. But I would say that this could be a realistic number.
Thank you.
The next question is from Maya Pataki of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have actually only one question left since everything has been asked before. I was just wondering if after the first initial few weeks, months on the molecular side, you could give us a bit of an update on the feedback you receive from existing clients, and as I recall, you're planning to target new customer or new market segment. I was wondering if you have already some feedback and if you would be willing to share that with us. Thank you.
I think that so far we have, I would again, going by memory, I would say between 10 and 20 systems which have been installed in the different geographies. And installations have happened, mainly driven by the infectious disease, which are the products that have been installed. Very clearly, being newcomer to this field, what it takes now is time for customers to do the evaluation, run comparison to PCR, and we expect to have a publication coming out of this initial evaluation, which happened, I would say, mainly in England and in now in Germany and in Italy, which are, in this sense, fairly sophisticated markets. So today we are putting the effort in building awareness of the technology and the brand. And so far, I would say, so good.
And just a quick follow-up on that. Did you encounter any reaction that you didn't expect, or, I mean, something that had a significant impact on your strategy going forward?
I don't know what you mean about this. I think, to be honest with you, I'm very pragmatic, so I think it would be very difficult to make a final assessment either on a bad reaction or getting excited on a good reaction. I think that we started the deployment, we are running clinical studies, we are running evaluations, and as said, I don't see any roadblock in terms of our strategy. What I see is clearly is that this is not a typical sale as it happens with a Liaison Excel, where the level of sophistication of the evaluation and the customer is different. In that case, quality and results are given for granted, so it's more, the discussion has more to do with the flow of lab and efficiency. In this case, you are back to where immunoassay was 30 years ago, so it's more content and analytical results, and this is why it takes time for this customer to run the evaluation. Keep in mind that the other thing which is relevant is that for lots of these products, you start the evaluation from fresh blood and not from frozen blood, which means that in order to evaluate, you need to enroll patients, collect samples. It's a completely different business. It's really more research and development driven rather than, you know, productivity and workflow. So far, so good.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sachin Soni of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My question is regarding new system installed guidance. Looking at what you installed, roughly 125 in Q4, is 500 not a bit too low, or is it lowballing? And then the other thing is it the global target, or is it just the key countries target? Thank you.
I think that 500 is a very is a good number of systems, especially in the current environment, and clearly this is for global use. We open up more markets than we used to have before, so we have more access to different markets. But I believe that overall, 500 is a reasonable target for this organization.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over. You may disconnect your telephones.